الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أيام معدودات، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Depending on where you are, we'll be soon entering the last ashra of Ramadan. To speak about the place where I am in Pakistan, starting tomorrow, which is Monday, Maghrib, we will be entering the last ashra of Ramadan, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned as itkum minan nar, emancipation from the hellfire. This is the ashra which has the ultimate power of Ramadan, and the ultimate power of Ramadan is to be most felt in these 10 days, in the last 10 days. So it is absolutely essential that all of us, we prepare for these last 10 days, and that we also reflect on the sunnah amal of itikaf for these last 10 days. And we decide to whatever extent we will be able to take part and participate in this incredible sunnah practice. And we also try to search for Laylatul Qadr in these last 10 days. And generally, try to increase our ibadah in these last 10 days. So you can imagine that the last 10 days of Ramadan, they hold so much barakah, so much power, so much qadr, that even if somebody managed in the first 20 days, they weren't able to benefit from the month of Ramadan, then in the last 10 days, it can be enough for the whole of Ramadan. The last 10 days can be enough for the whole of Ramadan, and a Ramadan can be enough for the whole year. And if properly spent, Ramadan can be enough for a whole lifetime. So today we wanted to, in this session, before we head into the last 10 days, so first thing we wanted to do is, just like in Shaban, we gave a talk on the month of Ramadan. So in these last 1 day or 2 day, whatever you are, we should prepare for this last ashra. We should prepare for this last ashra. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran that you should fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that you should understand that these days are going to be ayyamu madudat. The month of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan will be for a limited number, accountable, numerable number. And we are about to experience this waning of Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan. And we cannot afford to leave this power untapped, this incredible potential that is there in this month. As an example, from the very first night of Ramadan, when the moon was sighted and you decided to fast the next day after Maghrib, right? But you will fast the next day, but on the first night of Ramadan, after Maghrib Salah, 1.5 hours later, you are praying Isha. And after Isha, on the very first night of Ramadan, many people will stand for 1 hour, 2 hours of Salat al-Taraweeh. That is the power of the month of Ramadan. Because imagine that the person who for the entire year was never able to stand for 1 hour in Salah, Ramadan has just begun. He hasn't fasted yet. This is the first night of Ramadan. They haven't fasted yet. Just they have entered 1.5 hours of this month of Ramadan. 1.5 hours of the month of Ramadan passes by, and this person gets this capacity to do so much ibadah, the taqwa, his ability to worship Allah has increased so much that after those 1.5 hours, he can continuously stand for up to 2 hours in Salat al-Taraweeh. Now I want you to imagine that what should be the state of the believer who has passed through 20 days of the month of Ramadan. And, right? If 1.5 hours of Ramadan is so strong that it can enable us to stand in Taraweeh for 2 hours, that first night, then imagine how much power the first 20 days will have and how much power the whole month of Ramadan will have. So in this last 10 days, we have to prepare. And if there is anything left that you have to do in this world for the dunya, we should ideally try to finish it up tonight or in the morning tomorrow. Try to free up as much time as possible from Monday Maghrib until the moon of Eid is sighted, or you're informed about the sighting of the moon. Because it's amazing that the Prophet ﷺ did not let himself be engaged in ibadah for a whole day or 3 days or 5 days or 7 days. The Prophet ﷺ, he would sacrifice his ability to do ibadah in order to do work of nabuwat, right? In order to do work of deen. However, every year without fail, the Prophet ﷺ spent the last 10 days of Ramadan in itikaf. And in fact, 1 year when he wasn't, he made a qaza, 20 days of itikaf in Ramadan. So not only is this a sunnah amal, but we should also reflect on this decision. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ is staying in itikaf, for the Prophet ﷺ to make that decision, where the Prophet ﷺ is spending his entire year in worship, in dawah, doing work of nabuwah, spreading the deen, but using this last 10 days to just go all out in ibadah, engaging himself in ibadah for the entire 10 days in itikaf. This is something we should reflect upon, because there might have been other things in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that the Prophet ﷺ did not do regularly. But this itikaf was one ibadah which the Prophet ﷺ did as much ihtimam of as if it was a fard. So what is it about these last 10 days of Ramadan that even the Prophet ﷺ put a pause on working outside and spending that time in the masjid in itikaf? It must be something very special, something very unique. And there are many different aspects of our deen that suggest that every person needs to disconnect from time to time with the dunya in order to be able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one hikmat, wisdom, benefit in itikaf and generally ibadah in the last 10 days. That we need time to disconnect from the dunya, so that we can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are certain things in our deen which are built in mechanisms by which to disconnect from the dunya. So for example, hijrat, when it was not possible to feel the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkah Mukarrama, because the Muslims were not able to establish an Islamic society, the Prophet ﷺ decided that he and the Sahaba Ikram, they must migrate to Medina Munawwara. Otherwise, in theory, in spite of that boycott, that oppression, they could have continued to live there. But there was a notion that, no, we must leave this place. We have to leave Makkah Mukarrama, leave, disconnect with Makkah Mukarrama for Medina Munawwara. Or a more umumi meaning is to disconnect from one society that is un-Islamic and migrate to one that is Islamic. And then you can understand this from another example. We see in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that when before the first revelation came, The Prophet ﷺ used to go to cave Ghar-e-Hira for worship, for ibadah. And again, this notion of leaving the society to worship Allah, to do ibadah. Back then, Makkah Mukarramah itself was a very simple town. You don't have these big high-rise buildings that we see today. It was already very empty, not many people there. There won't be any too many distractions either at that time. But still, the Prophet ﷺ would leave that city and go to Ghar-e-Hira, sometimes for 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 5 days, sometimes even more than that. And then do ibadat of Allah, reflect, contemplation in that cave. Why? Because there's a notion that you connect. In order to connect, one has to disconnect with their society. And then we see that the Prophet ﷺ received his first revelation not when he was in his house, not when he was in the marketplace, not when he was on the street. That first revelation came when the Prophet ﷺ was in contemplation and solitude in that Ghar-e-Hira. This is a lesson for me and you. The ulama, they have written that if a person's ruh is that of a Nabi, and they spend time in seclusion, in solitude, some ibadah, do ibadah in that time, then Allah Ta'ala can bless them with the nabuwat. And if a person has a ruh of a ghair Nabi, me and you, then if you spend time in khalwa and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some time in that environment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us wilayat. A person can attain closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by disconnecting from dunya and connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need that environment. That's why the Prophet used to go to Ghar-e-Hira. And that's why that story is there for me and you to take guidance. Similarly, another story that Allah has given in the Quran is that of Ashabi Kahf. That when they were young men who were living in a society, again, that society which was not conducive to their faith, to their iman. There were pressures that they were facing in that society, pressures that were dampening their iman, that were distracting them, that were putting pressures on them. So what did they do? They made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua. They went inside a cave. And in that cave, they took that sanctuary, they took refuge. And again, that story is there in the Quran for a lesson. That if we are in our, and most of us, I think, will feel pressure. Sometimes you are at work in the office, sometimes at university, sometimes in home. There is constantly, you're facing pressure. You want to worship Allah Ta'ala, but you might not be able to worship Allah the way that you want to. You're under pressure. There might be distractions, diversions. So that story is teaching us a lesson again, that from time to time a person will need to disconnect with the dunya, with the niyat, in order to be able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These stories there in the Quran are there for a lesson, so that me and you, we can implement that lesson, we can take lesson, and we can abide by that lesson in our own life. So at an individual level, what means is that we also have to make this disconnect. Like the Sahaba Ikram, they made that hijrah. We will have to make that hijrah from our own jahiliyyah to a life of iman. We'll have to make this hijrah from a life of sin into obedience. We have to make this hijrah from a life of heedlessness into the zikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to make this hijrah from jahalat, from ignorance to knowledge. So this was the theme of hijrah, that we must leave, we must disconnect. We must migrate, disconnect, in order to be able to connect to Allah. And every connection requires a prior and previous disconnect. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he left the Makkan society to go to Ghar-e-Hira. Left, he disconnected to get that connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must also follow in that footsteps. This is also the meaning of Tawbah. I mentioned hijrah, this is also the meaning of Tawbah. Tawbah is also like a hijrah. Allah says in Quran that Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. That all those who believe, tubu, repent to Allah. And then ilal, tubu ilallah. This word ilallah means that you're repenting from something to something. In English, we call this a paradigm shift, that we repent from our sins and then we are moving towards Allah. There is a notion of leaving sins in order to move towards Allah, breaking away from our sins in order to move towards Allah, ilallah, disconnecting from that life of sin before we can join and connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tubu ilallah, it's a paradigm shift. So this notion of i'tikaf is also one such mechanism in our deen, just like tawbah, just like hijrah, just like khalwa. This notion of i'tikaf is basically an ibadah which has that same function, that we disconnect ourselves from the dunya. And what is so beautiful and ajeeb about this ibadah is that when is this i'tikaf coming? And here, what time of the year is this ibadah coming? This is not coming when we are in our most ghaflat. It's not coming when you might have imagined that maybe we might be thinking that this ibadah, we should be doing this ibadah when we are in a state of heedlessness or absent-minded or sinning. That's when we need to do this ibadah, disconnect ourselves from the dunya. It's ajeeb that this ibadah is coming after spending 20 days of Ramadan, when we are already at the peak. Most of us would say that throughout the year, if I am at a peak, it's right now in terms of my ibadah. I haven't done so much ibadah throughout the whole year as I'm doing right now. After spending 20 days of Ramadan, then this ibadah of i'tikaf is coming. When you're just at your peak, your pinnacle. We have just spent 20 days of Ramadan. So we are probably doing better off on the 19th of Ramadan or the 20th of Ramadan than we were doing all year round. You might think that we need to disconnect in Zil Qa'dah or Rabiul Awwal or in the middle of some other Islamic lunar year. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying right in the middle of Ramadan. And what that shows is that we are not just supposed to disconnect with the dunya in order to connect to Allah. Rather, we are supposed to connect to Allah Ta'ala and connect to Allah Ta'ala in a very deep way. We're supposed to attain the depth of that connection with Allah Ta'ala. All of us might be feeling connected already with Allah, but that's not enough. Disconnect totally with the dunya to go into the depth of that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times we're just floating on the surface of ibadat. We are floating on the surface of the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, perhaps you are busy with the dunya, perhaps you are busy with your studies, perhaps you are busy working. You are not able to go deep down, and you have been staying on the surface of the deen throughout the year. And that's fine. But I want that there should be some time in the whole year that you spend 10 days going deep, going under the surface. It's deep sea diving. I've already given you 20 days of Ramadan for that, where you can prepare yourself to go deep. I've already given you 20 days to get already disconnected from the dunya, to prepare for this plunge, to submit your nafs, to turn to me in ibadah, to turn to me in Quran, to turn to me in zikr, to turn to me in taraweeh. Now, after this 20-day workshop is over, you can actually view these 20 days as just preparing you for the last 10 days. These 20 days are just a preparation for the last 10 days for i'tikaf. So now, after the rough cut, now the iman is ready to be deeply polished. Now you're ready to take that plunge and go deep. So it's a general thing, right? That whether we may or may not be able to spend all the 10 days in i'tikaf, some of us might be able to spend all 10 days, some of us may not be able to spend all 10 days. It's a mentality that Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that we are supposed to have in these last 10 days. And that mentality is that we have to find some way to take the last 10 days to a higher level. We have to find something in these last 10 days that we can already disconnect. We're so busy with the dunya, with studies, work, that we weren't able to go deep. These 10 days, we have to find some way to disconnect with the dunya, to partake whatever we can from these 10 days of itikaf, and take these last 10 days of Ramadan to a higher level, to achieve some level of depth in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to achieve some level of depth in our closeness with Allah, in our du'as with Allah, in our ibadah, in our tahajjud, in our tilawat, in our zikr, in our relationship with Allah. To get some disconnected, to get some connection with Allah. This is the asal of the last 10 days. And that's why we have this ibadah of itikaf as well. This is the asal of itikaf, the purpose of itikaf. However much you can, even if you cannot spend 10 days, still, this is something we should be thinking. Many times people think that, okay, if I can't do itikaf, then the next 10 days have no extra significance for me. I'll just spend them like the last 20 days. That would be a deception. That would be losing out on this opportunity. I remember when we were a student at the university, people used to do semi-nafil itikaf. Semi-nafil itikaf in the masjid of the university. They used to move to the masjid and they used to get up in the morning and having offered tahajjud, fajr, suhoor, everything, then they would go to study in the class. Then some of them, they would go to work. Right? So the sunnah itikaf cannot be done in this way. This was nafil. They would go to work, they would study, and then they would come right back to the masjid. Now, all of us, you know, who can't, we can do that. Even a person working in a corporate job, they can also do that. And then some of them, if they weren't able to do that, they would take the last 3 days off, or 5 days off, or the odd nights off. They would spend the weekend in nafil itikaf. They would come back at Friday 5 p.m. in the masjid, and they would not leave the masjid until Monday 9 a.m. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning, then they'll go to work. And they were as particular about the rules of itikaf as a person was doing sunnat itikaf. And in fact, if you're making niyat of nafil itikaf, you should be so particular. Everyone can do that. If you're a student, you can also do nafil itikaf. You can move in. When it's time for class, you can go, come right back. It's doable. I've seen it with my own eyes. People are doing it. And people are doing it in much more mukhalif environments, more opposing environments. And really, I would also see with my own eyes the asr of that itikaf on some of our friends, the asr, the effect of this ibadah. In fact, maybe more, because the more effort and struggle, because they're constantly trying to disconnect, not just once. They're doing that for every single day in the last 10 days. They're disconnecting themselves from their job, disconnecting from their study, disconnecting. Constantly disconnecting, so making more of an effort and struggle. And that's why they had a very lasting effect afterwards, after Ramadan. Because they kept going to work. And they said that they experienced very spiritual days at work. They were in a state of remembrance. They said they had never worked like that. They said that they never brought a zikr to the workplace before. That zikr lasted with them afterwards as well. Whereas sometimes, you know, when a person does the full itikaf, he goes to the other extreme. And right after itikaf, he goes back. It's like a reverse paradigm shift. Goes back to into his routine. So the point is that if a person should try to partake from this ibadah in the last 10 days, if someone cannot move into the masjid, then at least try to spend their weekends in itikaf, their nights in itikaf, their odd nights in itikaf, seeking Laylatul Qadr. The women can also do itikaf. They can do itikaf in their homes. They can do nafil itikaf. They can do sunnat itikaf. They can do that. They can also do this. They can designate some part of their house, some part of their corner of their room, as there will be this will be my place where I'm going to do my itikaf. They can do that as well. Men can do itikaf in the masjid. Women can do itikaf in home. It's an ibadah which we should try to do as much as possible in these last 10 days. Disconnect. And then try in these nights to seek Laylatul Qadr. Because the Prophet said in several hadiths that the Laylatul Qadr, it lies in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And most likely it falls in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. So at least a person should seek out Laylatul Qadr. And the best way to do that is also to be in a state of itikaf. Spend the entire night in ibadah. So ibadah for the men, if they're doing ibadah, they're not in the masjid, not in the home, they can do it in the masjid. The barakat of the masjid will be there. For most of us, for the men, we get a heightened sense of our salah and ibadah inside the masjid. That something happens when you enter into this building of the masjid. So why not take advantage of that? Make use of that. Try to at least spend some extra time in the last few nights here in the masjid. Some people will be doing sunnat itikaf in the masjid. Some people will be doing nafil itikaf. Some people will be having all-night programs. As much as a person can, we should benefit from itikaf, try to do so. And if anyone feels that they're ready to take the plunge, they should take it. Call 10 days off. Halt your life for 10 days. Pause your life for 10 days. Maybe you might be able to do it today. Next year, you might be busy. Maybe you may not have that time in the future. You might be busy. You might be working. You might have children. There might be so many responsibilities on you. So if you have this opportunity this year to spend full 10 days, do so. We might have the ability now. Maybe in the future, we may not have that ability. You don't have to spend a super itikaf. Just the act of disconnecting, putting yourself in that environment in the masjid or in the home, if you major for the women, they can do itikaf in their home. Just to put yourself in that environment, for some of us, that itself is a very big thing. That's enough. It's enough. It's big enough to change us. And inshallah, if you get to do it in a particular masjid where there are different ulama and mashayikh and bayans, then that's nurun ala nur. You will be continually getting pumped up, renewed every day, every night. You won't have to get that pumping on your own. There'll be other people pumping you as well. So beautiful that sleeping in the masjid, you will get sawab. Even when you're daydreaming in the masjid, it would be reward. Sitting in the masjid would be sawab. It all counts as itikaf. So this is an incredible thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put. And it's both for the men and for the women. So incredible that the Prophet ﷺ would never miss it. And like I said, that one year when he missed itikaf, the next year he spent 20 days in itikaf. He did qaza of itikaf. This is unheard of in the sunnah. This is unheard of. And there are people all over the world in different places who are spending all of Ramadan in itikaf. Some all of Ramadan, some 20 days, some last 10 days. When the Prophet passed away, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the wives of the Prophet, this was their sunnah as well. Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajmain, it was their continuous sunnah to make itikaf in their hujra. So it's not just for men, both men and women. This is about connecting with Allah too, disconnecting with dunya as much as possible. So actually, this is a lesson that we're supposed to carry with us for the whole year, for the whole lives. That everyone should have some moments in the 24 hours day and night schedule that they can devote exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day we should have some moments like that. And the purpose of itikaf is just an intensive 10-day training. We go through that training, we partake from that training as much as we can to try to train us how to disconnect with the dunya in order to connect to Allah. Ideally, a person should be able to disconnect every single day. Every prayer should be an itikaf. Every salah that you pray should be itikaf. Every salah should be a disconnect from dunya. Or we should have some moments in our day when we spend our time doing zikr of Allah. And in that zikr, we disconnect. We empty ourselves of thoughts of dunya. We try to connect to Allah in our heart. So another way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran Kareem is by this word tabattal. Wazkur isma rabbik wa tabattal ilayhi tabatila. That remember the name of your Lord. Tabattal again is a complete disconnect. You remember Allah exclusively to the exclusion of everything else. Complete disengagement from everything. And complete engagement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wazkur means complete disengagement from the remembrance of anything, everything that is ghairullah, and completely engaging oneself in the zikr, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's an ability that we are all supposed to have, whether we have it in salah or tilawat or durood and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in some type of zikr of the heart. So i'tikaf is training us to do that. You'll find that when you sit in i'tikaf, you will have a desire to do all kinds of ibadat that you have never even heard about before or never felt like doing before, because we're just so lazy or just so distracted. Some of us might feel like praying qaza salah. We'll feel like praying some salat tasbih. You might feel like reciting Quran for a long period. You might feel like making a long spontaneous dua. You will feel like doing zikr of Allah in your heart. You will feel like making istighfar. You will feel like making durood. And that will be something new, right? To feel like doing ibadah. That's something new for us. Usually we have to force ourselves to do ibadah. We don't feel like doing ibadah. So we have to put ourselves in these 10 days. A 10-day zone, a 10-day mode. It's like an incubator, right? When you have a newborn baby, they put the newborn baby in an incubator. So if we got the rahmat and the maghfirat of Allah Ta'ala in the past 20 days, then we are like a newborn baby. Allah Ta'ala in His mercy has washed away all our sins. And now Allah Ta'ala is placing us into this incubator of the last 10 days, so that we can be brought up to the full strength of Iman, the full strength of Taqwa. La'allakum tattaqun. So this whole system of Ramadan is designed to create Taqwa. Fasting to get Taqwa. Taraweeh to get Taqwa. Ibadah to get Taqwa. Itikaf to get Taqwa. The spirit of Itikaf to get Taqwa. This concept of sitting in seclusion to connect to Allah in order to get taqwa. The concept of disconnecting with the dunya in order to attain taqwa. The goal, ultimate final, is to get this taqwa. So if you don't partake of this i'tikaf at all in whatever sense, then we may not be able to be successfully get this mission taqwa. It's not a mission impossible, it's a mission very much possible. Because taqwa is also a type of a disconnect. We are disconnecting. I'm disconnect. I can't disconnect from my desires. And I can do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do. I can't disconnect from myself and do what Allah wants me to do. To have that ability to disconnect with our desires and the ability to connect with the desires of Allah. And you know, when a person is in itikaf, then they say that you can only go out for a necessity. You can't leave that space. You can only go out if there is a necessity, and you may go out only as long as it is necessary to fulfill that necessity. Yani the necessity is granted as long as it is necessary. And that feature of itikaf is also a training. For example, the Prophet said, Denn min husni Islam al-Mari, tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. That the husn, the excellence of the deen of Islam, of a person, it lies in tark. Tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. Tark, leaving those things which don't concern him. Leaving, cutting, disconnecting. All that garbage, all those things which don't concern us. We are supposed to concern ourselves with those things which are beneficial for us. Leave the other things. Leave the other people. Leave other distractions. We are people who are supposed to be purposeful. Whenever we do something which is not aligned with our purpose, it's distraction. So in i'tikaf, you're being trained to have a purpose, to have a mission. Like a mu'takif, when they enter the masjid, the way you interact with the dunya, it's so purposeful. It's a very limited engagement. They take from the dunya only that which is necessary. That itself is a kind of a training. They take from the dunya only that which is necessary. And in reality, you know, the truth is that the whole life is like a big fast. It's like a roza. And we'll make iftar when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Either our iftari will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is smiling upon us and we are smiling back upon Allah. Or this iftari would be that Allah ta'ala is upset with us and we are disappointed with Allah. This whole world similarly should be spent as if it's an itikaf. That we should be engaging with the dunya only so long as it is necessary. And as long as it is necessary. Otherwise, everything should be for Allah. Everything should be for the sake of Allah. And that is why, you know, in these 10 days, a person may begin to feel like that. They'll begin to view their work as ghayri asal, as not what their real identity is. Because their asal, their real identity in those days, in their mind will be itikaf, ibadah. That's their mindset. They are longing to go back in i'tikaf to worship Allah. So they totally get a new way of looking at their work, a new way of looking at their studies, a new way of looking at their career. My asal is this ibadah, my asal is Allah, my asal is this i'tikaf. This is my asal. And this effect will stay with them for a long time, even after i'tikaf. And that's a very good connection to have. You're connected with Allah. That's a very good identity to have. That my dunya is not my asal. Akhirat is my asal. The deen is our asal. Asal means our foundation. Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my asal. That's the purpose of life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah ta'ala himself describing, revealing the purpose. That I did not create humans or jinn for any other reason except that they do ibadah, that they raise themselves to the level of ubudiyat, that they should constantly be thinking of themselves as my servants, my slaves. This is an identity. And that is this identity. We spoke about this a few sessions earlier. I'tikaf is restoring us back to our real identity, our primary identity, our asal identity. To be an abd of Allah. You will feel like an abd when you're sitting in the masjid, when you're sitting in i'tikaf, when you're doing this ibadah, disconnecting with the dunya in order to connect to Allah, you'll feel like an abd. We have spent our whole life, years, fleeing away from this identity of an abd of Allah, servant of Allah. And in these last 10 days, Allah is giving us an opportunity that you can reclaim this identity. Will in envelop us, right, around us. Our ubudiyat will be restored to us. And that's an incredible amal. And that's the reason normally we also don't spend time with you. We also have to leave for our own itikaf. Inshallah, this year as well, we have this irada and intention. So one should try to spend as much time as possible in this month of Ramadan, the last 10 days. You have 24 hours to make arrangements, maybe less than that, before this amal starts. So this is a month that we should not delay. A time when even if you don't, for not 10 days, for 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, don't hesitate. Just jump in. Don't delay. Just capitalize on that opportunity and make a niyat that Allah, I want to disconnect with the dunya to be able to connect to you. Ramadan is the month of breaking these habits of laziness, of delaying, procrastination. It's a month that we should be now sprinting. Right? We can understand this like a race. What happens is, for those who have ever raced in their life, and especially long distance, so you will find that at the end, when you're approaching the last leg of the race, that's the time when a person sprints. It's called the last dash. In physical achievement, in physical, sports, that's what happens. That there's an end lap, and in the last lap, person sprints. It's the last sprint, the last dash, right? In the 400-meter race, the last meter, last 100 meters. They give it all that they give, whatever they have. They give whatever they have in those last 100 meters. That is what our attitude should be in these last 10 days of Ramadan. This is my sprint. I have been working at this. Now is the time to give everything that I have. Even if it is just to collapse at the finish line, which is Eid. Just give everything that you have. Everything. In the Prophet says to them, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yajtahidu fil ashr al awakhiri ma la yajtahid fi ghayrihi. La yajtahidu fi ghayrihi. That the last ashra, when the last ashra of Ramadan used to begin, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do so much mujahida, so much ibadah, so much striving and struggle to do ibadah of Allah in this last 10 days, like he would have never done throughout the whole year. And the Prophet ﷺ would do ibadah throughout the whole year, so much ibadah that there would be swelling on the blessed feet of the Prophet ﷺ. And in Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ would increase that mujahidah. Me and you may not be able to think that what kind of mujahidah the Prophet system would be doing in these last 10 days to increase that level further, further. In Sahih Bukhari Sharif, there's a hadith which mentions, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions that when the last ashra of Ramadan used to start, the Prophet system used to tie his lower garment. This is an Arabic. There's a concept that you tie your lower garment when you want to do something monumental. You prepare yourself for doing something extremely important, urgent, right? Something of tremendous value. They would tie their lower garment properly, right? So the Prophet ﷺ would do that, and then he would spend the nights of the last 10 days awake in ibadat. And he would also wake his family, his spouse, on the last 10 days of Ramadan. Not just himself, even you wake them up. You wake them up. This is fazila. And all of this is ta'lim for the ummah, teaching the ummah that this is what needs to be done on these nights of Ramadan, the last 10 days. Spend these nights in ibadah. Spend these nights awake. Spend these nights in worship. You worship, the family members should also be worshiping. And just tie yourself, just brace yourself for the storm. Just make the sprint in the last 10 days. Do whatever, give all, everything that you have in these last 10 days. So now it's the time to give everything that I have. That's how we should be thinking. And if a person does that, then Hadith Mubarak, it comes that man qama laylatul qadri imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. That whoever spends Laylatul Qadr in a state of Iman and seeking reward from Allah Ta'ala will forgive all the sins of that person. So this is why we have to give everything that we have. Even like I said, if you want to collapse at the finish line, Eid day, that's fine. In fact, This is the reason why that person who does that sprint will rejoice when he crosses the finish line. Just like that person who makes the sprint in the last 10 days of Ramadan, give everything that they have in Ibadah, they will be rejoicing on the day of Eid. You will feel truly happy on the day of Eid. You won't feel happy because it's a festivity and festival. You will truly feel an ajeeb happiness in your heart on the Eid day. Because you spend the last few days of Ramadan properly, you give everything that you had. You will then understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared this day as Yawmul Eid, a day of happiness, a day of rejoicing, a day of feasting, a day of celebration. Allah Akbar. Look at Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is celebrating the achievement of your taqwa. That's Eid. Allah Ta'ala is celebrating the achievement of your taqwa. It's something to be celebrated, not our birth. What is something to be celebrated is the achievement of taqwa, or at least an increase in taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala celebrates these things, gives us an opportunity to celebrate these things. An nikahu nisful iman. You get a nikah, you celebrate that with a walima. Something worth celebrating. You completed your iman. You finished the month of Ramadan. You got taqwa. That's worth celebrating. You went on Hajj. You had nisbat with the Hujjaj, who earned the rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Arafah. That is worth celebrating. Now go Eid al-Azha. Celebrate. Getting maghfirat and rahmat of Arafah. Getting the taqwa of Ramadan. Getting iman in nikah. These are things to be celebrated. These are things that we celebrate. We celebrate our deen. This is the mizaj of the Sharia, the mizaj of our deen. And then the whole of Akhirah will be an Eid day. And this dunya will be like Ramadan. This dunya will be Ramadan and Akhirat will be Eid. And truly, then there will be people who will be rejoicing on that Eid and Akhirat. Because they spent this world, this Ramadan properly. So we must make a deep intention, a firm niyat, that Ya Allah, surely I wasted my year. Perhaps I haven't done even proper qadr of the month of Ramadan. It's flown by me. I'm thinking before the month of Ramadan started, we were thinking that Ramadan will come and in Ramadan I'll make this dua, I will do this, I will do that. And we had such grand plans and ambitions and intentions. And then Ramadan started, and now half of Ramadan is over. 20 days of Ramadan are gone, and only 10 days are left. And these 10 days will also fly past. They will also fly by. So it's very important that we view these 10 days that we have as an opportunity, as a ghanimat. And we try to capitalize. We spend them carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you can see the finish line now. You can see the end. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ayyamu Madudat, these are limited days. Spend them carefully, or they will pass by you. In sports, when you see the finish line, that's the time that you make a dash. You sprint. It's no time to jog anymore. It's not a time to think that what am I? Who am I? What about my studies? What about my job, my this, my that? I'm not ready to go all out. Give me something that is tier 2 activity, tier 3 activity, halka phulka. This is too intense. This is too much for me. Give me something light. Those are things which are keeping, you know, they keep us going around in circles, circles, circles all the year. Can I do this? Can't I do this? Can you give me some lighter activity? Sir, can I have something where I don't have to go all out? Can we not do the Arabic track? Can't we just have a general lecture? This is the time for you to go all out. These 10 days with every individual Muslim should go all out. It's like pumping a team for the match. That's what it is. That's what the 10 days are. And there's ajeeb barakah in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And obviously the greatest of barakah is Laylatul Qadr. This alone is that gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to this ummah. This ummah of the Prophet alone has been given the sharaf of Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. That we have bestowed this Quran e Kareem upon you on this Laylatul Qadr. Khayrun min alfi shahr. It is better than 1,000 months. 83 years, more than 83 years. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you spend 10 minutes doing istighfar on this night, it is as if you spend 10 minutes every single day for 83 years. Me and you, we're not people of istiqamat. If I say, is there any amal that you can do for just 10 minutes that you can do for every day for 80 years, you'll probably say, no, I can't, I don't have so much steadfastness. Laylatul Qadr is an opportunity where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that gift of istiqamat for free in the last 10 days. Gives this gift of kasrat. Uzkurullah dhikran kathira. Remember Allah ta'ala abundantly. So how much zikr can we do on this night if you're able to catch it? And you will definitely surely catch it if you're in itikaf. If you spend these last 10 nights in itikaf, in ibadat. And you can, it's an opportunity. You can become a person of zikr e kasir, a person of istiqamat. Can become amongst the muqarrabun, the sabiqun, the awwalun, the awliya, the muhsineen, muttaqeen, siddiqeen, sadiqeen. All terms mentioned in the Quran. So this is the power of the month of Ramadan. It's an incredible thing. There is no one who is beyond the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and the Quwwat of Ramadan and the power of Ramadan. So it's something we just have to understand. And this is a time that we are spending the best moments of our life. We should view this as a very prime time of our life. Prime time of the entire year. Ghanimat, right? Opportunity. We should try to spend these times in zikr of Allah, ibadat of Allah, tilawat, staying in the masjid as much as possible. And we should have this fikr to increase in our ibadah. There's still such people who are present today. There was a person, a young boy, a young man. And he came and said, he told, our Sheikh mentioned this story, that he said that I spent Ramadan last year, and Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave me tawfiq, that in one Ramadan, every day I used to complete one Quran. It was not a hafiz a Quran. He used to look, read from the Quran, line by line. And he was very young. All his, the hair of his beard were black. MashaAllah, 30 Qurans in 30 days. One person said that in this Ramadan, I recited Kalima Tayyiba 10,000 times. And if you begin to open up and understand the type of amal people are doing in this Ramadan, it feels that we are not doing anything. These are also people living in the dunya with us, at a time with us. They also have 24 hours. They also have a spouse and children. They also have their business. They also have their studies. They also have their zaruriyat and needs. They also have their responsibilities. They also have their sicknesses and diseases. But despite that, they're earning Ramadan. They're maximizing Ramadan. So if we haven't been able to do much in the last 20 days, koi baat nahi, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now giving us, gifting us with another opportunity. The last 10 days are coming. So we should try to make these 10 days valuable. So those who are even studying or working and cannot do sunnat itikaf, they should try to do nafil itikaf in the masjid. In that way, inshallah, they'll be able to get the barakat of this month. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to spend these last 10 days of Ramadan as devotedly, as passionately as we can, and make this a sprint to the finish line of taqwa, so that maybe, inshallah, we can also manage to cross that line and become people of taqwa. We can become people of la'allakum tattaqun. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala make this last 10 days a means of our islah, a means to ignite the flame of His muhabba in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to do ibadah on Laylatul Qadr in these last 10 days. And may Allah ta'ala adorn us with the libas of taqwa, the garment of taqwa in these last 10 days, and then grant us the tawfiq to carry this garment of taqwa with us throughout the life. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll make dua. Subhana rabbil al wahhab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al zalimin. Allahumma إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Rabbana zalamna, ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem. Allah, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask that you accept our Tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we make Tawbah for all the sins that we remember. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make Tawbah for all the sins that we have forgotten. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, it's the month of Ramadan. The last Ashura of Ramadan is about to start. Ya Rabbi Kareem, your Nabi Salatu Wasalam mentioned that this last Ashura is Idhkum Minan Nar, it's emancipation from the hellfire. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask that you put our names also, Allah, in that list of those who are emancipated from the hellfire. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we don't know how we spend these 20 days, whether we were able to get the maghfirah or not. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask you that, ya Allah, put our names in the list of those tonight that who will get this maghfirah from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, shower this maghfirah upon all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah. Allah, we read that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ made baddua for that person who got Ramadan and was not able to get this maghfirah in the month of Ramadan. Allah, Nabi ﷺ said, Ameen to that baddua. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we have no other option. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we have to get ourselves forgiven in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us in this month of Ramadan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah. If you don't forgive us, Allah will be destroyed. Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us, Allah, this will lead to our halakat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us, that you shower us with your maghfirah, that you shower us with your forgiveness, that you accept our du'as in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us tawfiq for ibadah. Allah, whatever sins that we have done, ya Allah, wipe away those sins. Wipe away all the effects of sins. Wipe away all the najasat of sins. Wipe away all the negative consequences of sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, restore us back to ibadah. Restore us back to taqwa. Restore us back to kamil iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, whatever doubts and skepticisms are there in our heart, Allah, remove those doubts, ya Allah. Allah, remove All the skepticism from our hearts, grant us sharai sadr, grant us iman, iman haqiqi, grant us yaqeen in our iman, grant us ilmul yaqeen, ainul yaqeen, haqqul yaqeen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make our nafs nafs mutmainna. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make our nafs 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 mutmainna. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make the makruhat sharia, the makruhat of our tabia as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, align our tabia, make it according to the sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove the blackness and darkness from our hearts. Remove the heedlessness from our hearts. Remove the sinful desires from our hearts, the sinful feelings and emotions from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove the anxiety and worry from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us sukoon, grant us tranquility, Allah, grant us serenity, grant us itminan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fill our hearts with the noor of iman. Fill our hearts with the noor of your muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make our hearts munawwar, Ya Allah. Munawwar, Ya Allah. Munawwar, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make our hearts filled with your love. Allah, ignite the flame of your muhabba in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us love you more than anyone else in this world. Allah, make us love you more than anyone else in this world. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make our love for you more than the love that we have for our own self, more than the love that we have for our parents, more than the love that we have for our spouse, more than the love that we have for our kids, more than the love for anything else in this world. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us ashaddu hubba lillah. Allah, make us such that we can love you with the full extent of our heart. Make us such that we have istiqamat on this love, that we can love you throughout the day, throughout the night, for our whole life, Ya Allah. Allah, enable us to live on this love, to die on this love, to be raised up on this love. Remove the unlawful loves from our heart. Remove us, Ya Allah, from this prison of unlawful loves. Grant us yaksui, oneness in our love for you. Grant us yakjeti in our love for you. Grant us istiqama in our love for you. Allah, grant us shiddat in our love for you. Grant us rusukh and depth in our love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us purity and sincerity in our love for you. Allah, grant us ihsan in our love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, adorn us with all the sifat that are beloved to you. Allah, include our names among all the categories of people who are beloved to you. Allah, make us amongst the muttaqeen. Allah, make us amongst the tawabeen. Allah, make us amongst the mutatahireen. Allah, make us amongst the muhsineen. Allah, make us amongst the sabireen. Allah, make us amongst the muqsiteen. Allah, make us among those who pray nawafil. Allah, make us among those who are regularly able to pray our nawafil, regular in praying our tahajjud. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us those who are able to fulfill our hukukullah, who are able to fulfill our hukukul ibad. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, adorn us with all the sifat and mu'minana that are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of compassion, make us people of softness, make us people of gentleness, make us people of sila rahmi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people who are beloved to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, adorn us with all the sifat al-mu'minana that are pleasing to you. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove all the blameworthy attributes. Allah, all the blameworthy attributes that are within us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the impurities that are within us. Allah, remove us, Ya Allah, from all sins, and remove all the sins from us. Allah, put a distance between us and sins. Allah, just like you have put a distance between the earth and the heavens does not fall on the earth. Ya Rabbi Kareem, put a distance between us and sins as well. Allah, let these sins never ever fall upon us, and let us never ever fall upon these sins. Allah, create a separation between us and sins. Create a distance between us and sins. Allah, grant us a repugnance of sins in our heart. Grant us a karahiyat of sin in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a love for ibadah. Grant us a love for ita'ah. Grant us a love for amal salih. Ya Rabbi Kareem, incline our hearts towards your zikr. Incline our hearts towards your remembrance. Incline our hearts to those things which are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, from the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet, Allah, make us such that we become pleasing to you. Allah, we presenting ourselves to you. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Accept us, Ya Allah. Change us, Ya Allah. Change our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, put one glance of your rahmah upon our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that our hearts are between your two fingers. Yukallibuha kayfa yasha. You can flip our hearts whatever you wish. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Arhamur Rahimeen, Ya Rabbi Kareem in Quran. Allah, you have mentioned your rahmah in so many places. Allah, you are more merciful than any being that we can think of. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you by your mercy. Allah, we ask you by your sifat of rahmaniyat, by your sifat of kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant this one One rahmat upon our hearts, Ya Allah. Flip our hearts, Ya Allah. Flip our hearts towards you. Flip our life towards you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to become you. Allah, we want to become for you, Ya Allah. We want to become for you, Ya Allah. Allah, we want to become yours, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us takhalluku bi akhlaq, Allah. Allah, we did the sifat. Allah, we learned about your names and your attributes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, adorn us with the sifat, the mu'minana. All those sifat which are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, beautify us with those sifat. Beautify us with all those sifat which will make us beautiful in your eyes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you become our beloved, that you make us your beloved, that you become our lover, and you make us your lover. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you increase us in our love for you, in our love for all those people who love you, in our love for all those amal which will bring us close to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us to live a life of love, to enable us to follow in this path of muhabba and mahbubiya, to follow in the footsteps of the nabiyyin, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, the salihin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you have given us so many blessings, Allah, so many ni'matin, Allah, so many inamat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you grant us the tawfiq to do shukr, grant us the tawfiq to do shukr, to do qadardani, to be grateful, Allah, for all these ni'matin that you have given us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us grateful servants of yours. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi, we have seen in the dunya that a mother and a father, they have so much love for their child, they have so much love for their kids. Ya Rabbi Kareem, if they have so much love, because of their love, they cannot say no to their kids. They give in to the small divisions and small desires of their kids. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you have more love for your servants than parents have for their kids. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are your abd. Allah, we are your servant and slaves. Allah, you are our Rabb. You are our Malik. You are our Khalik. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are presenting our du'as to you. We are presenting our wishes to you. We are presenting our desires to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you that you grant us our desires. Allah, grant us better than what we can ask from you. Ya Allah, grant us your Sadqa Kareemi. Allah, grant us your Sadqa Rahimi, your Kareemi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, you are that being who gives and you become happy when you give. Just like Allah, we have seen in the dunya, parents, when they give to their kids, they become happy in that act of giving. Allah, they become happy by giving. The kids become happy by taking. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you are more merciful than our parents. Allah, you are Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah, 70 mothers combined. Allah, their love, Allah, your love will still be more than their love. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Allah, we ask you by your love that you have for us, by the rahmah that you have for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower us with your ni'mat, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi Kareem, give it to us. Allah, by this act of giving, Allah, you become razi with us. Allah, you become happy with us. Allah, you will become happy by giving it to us. We will become happy by taking it from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our Rabb. Allah, we have no other door to go to except for you. Allah, in Quran, Allah, you said to us that when a sa'il beggar comes to your door, don't refuse that person. Don't let that person go empty-handed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are also beggars in your court. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no other court to go to. We have no other being to go to. We have no other door to go to. Allah, you are our Malik. You are our Razik. You are our Khalik. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Arhamur Rahimeen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you grant us, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah. Allah, we'll take it from you and you alone. Ya Allah, we worship you and you alone. We seek help from you and you alone. Allah, we'll take it from you and you alone. Allah, we need you and you alone. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you accept us. Allah, we ask that you accept us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you accept us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us kubuliyah in the Allah. Allah, grant us kubuliyah in your eyes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you for whatever Allah, whatever pious intentions that any one of us have in our hearts, Allah, you know what is inside of our hearts. You know our intentions, our niyat, our du'as. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us all those things which are jais, which are beneficial. Allah, grant us those ni'matin with afiyat. Allah, grant us those ni'matin with love. Allah, save us from all tests, Ya Allah. Allah, we are not worthy of tests. Allah, we don't have that strength of imtihan. Allah, we don't have that strength and quwwat to be able to handle the tests, the trials and tribulations. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, if you want to do our islah, Allah, do our islah with love. Just like a child, Allah, we have seen in the dunya, when the mother, she wants to do her islah, the child says that, oh my mother, do my islah with love. Fix me with love. Purify me with love. Change my diaper with love. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are also people who are making tawbah to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you, Allah, change us, Ya Allah, but with love, Ya Allah. Allah, you change us, Ya Allah, with love. You purify Allah with love, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you purify us with love. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us on this path of tawbah. Accept us, Ya Allah, on this path of taqwa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept all the pious intentions that we have in our hearts, all the ibadat that we have done in the month of Ramadan, all the du'as that we have made, either individually or collectively. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept our tarawih, accept our fasting, accept our tilawat the Quran, accept our du'as. Allah, accept our sitting and gathering here for your sake and learning about you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, the 10 days that are remaining, Allah, we ask you that you grant us the tawfiq to be able to do this ibadah in a way that is pleasing to you, to be able to earn your rida, to be able to earn your rida in your liqa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us such a life, Allah, that become pleasing to you, and may Allah, that we end this life in a manner that we are pleasing to you, that we are pleasing to you and you are pleasing to us. Allah, we end this life in such a manner that you are smiling at us and we are smiling back at you. Allah, make the time to come better than the time that has passed by. Make the akhri zamana of our life the best zamana of our life. Make the akhri, the last day of our life, the best day of our life. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayri khalqihi muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.